Dear Lord, I thank you for this morning. I thank you that this time of worship, that we can just surrender everything to you and know that you have us in your hand. Lord, and this morning I pray that just because we've stopped singing songs doesn't mean we continue to hear you. And Lord, this morning, open our ears, open our hearts, open our minds to what you want to say to each and every one of us, both individually and corporately, Lord, this morning. Do us good, bless us, Lord, and encourage us in your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Willing and able. You see, there are plenty of people who want to see the world being changed. Those people sort of willing to maybe just get up there and maybe just see a difference happening in their lives, in other people's lives, in their community, in their church. You see, over here is willing. Now this person or this body of people want to get up there and get out there. The trouble is they get frustrated and disheartened. They get their fears and their doubts, and they all get in the way. And they think, although I'm willing to get out there and speak about Jesus or make a worldly difference, I can't really do it. I just get too nervous. I can't speak. I can't do. I can't think. And you get disheartened and you get frustrated. And in the end, a lot of us actually, if we're honest with ourselves, actually give up. We stop. We think, I can't do this anymore. Now over here is Abel. Now this is a fella who's got power, strength. He's out there. He's wanting to get the world changed, just like Willing is. He's out there seeking 24/7 for Willing to come and partner him to actually make a difference to this world. In the book of Acts, we see this Willing and this Abel come together. The title that we were given was, We Have Decided, reading about the book of Acts without living the book of Acts is unthinkable. And when we hit the book of Acts, it's a snapshot, literally, of the first sort of 20 years of the early church. It shows us a group of willings over here, partnering up with Abel over here, and together they take Jerusalem by storm. Together they take Jerusalem by storm. Because Willing over here suddenly realizes he can't do a thing without Abel. He can't do a thing without Abel. And while this Willing over here is ready to go, God will always provide Abel. His name is the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, Lord. His name is the Holy Spirit. 120 people sitting in the room, willing to get out there, willing to spread the good news of the gospel to the people who haven't heard it yet. And a lot of people get to the book of Acts and you talk and you read these books and it's all about witnessing. It's all about witnessing the gospel. It's all about getting out there. Actually, I don't think it is. Actually, I think the book of Acts is all about faith and obedience. When I read the book of Acts, it's to me, it's all about trusting in Abel. 100%, without question, without doubt, 100% trusting in him, not my willingness to get out there and do it. See, the church was so simplistic then, wasn't it? Their aim was just to get out there. There was no sort of agendas, no sort of hang-ons, no evangelical programs they hung on to, outreach events. They were just out there. Their faith and obedience was tested. Their faith and obedience was tested right from the very beginning. because they were told to sit and wait. To sit and wait. Now you tell Peter to go and sit and wait. Pre-Pentecostal, he would have been out there, wouldn't he? I mean, let's face it, the early church did not bring people to Christ through their own enthusiasm, their own energy, and their own way. Peter did not, with his size 10 sandals, boot the door down and cry, "Good morning, Jerusalem!" Did he? He didn't say, "Oi, John, psst, how many we got? 120. 120. John, what's 4 into 120? 30. And he stood there and go, "Right, you 30 go north, you 30 go south, you 30 go east, you 30 go west. I'll be in the King Dog, we're having a few pints, and if you need me, I'll be ready for you. If you find anybody who wants to come to Jesus, brilliant. But you know, we've got to get to the ends of the earth, and that's a long way. So you better get a shufti on, and let's get going." No, he didn't. Peter, with the rest of them, waited for the one who was able to take them out there to witness for him. Peter and John went out, healing on the streets, taking on the authorities. They were giving the gospel with both barrels. They were having it. Whether they liked it or not, Peter and John were out there. Paul, very similar, out there, called to do the Gentiles, to bring the Gentiles into. Out there, didn't care who he upset, really. His focus and aim was to get the Gentiles into a relationship with Jesus. This is Peter. This is Peter, the one who denied Christ three times. The one who generally opened his mouth and inserted his foot, was out there now leading the church. Boldness, confidence. Paul, the Christian basher, was called to bring the Gentiles into a relationship with him. But the thing is, we could hold these guys up on a pedestal if we're not careful. This is how you witness, guys. You need to be out there all the time, bashing people, bringing them in. Come on, we've got Jesus. Yes, yes, yes. You can actually bring the book of Acts with excitement and joy and think, yes. You can actually read the book of Acts with fear and trepidation if you're not careful. Because the problem is we compare ourselves with these guys and think, that's how I've got a witness. I'm willing to do it, but there's no way I can be like Peter or Paul out there doing that. I freeze. I get tongue-tied. I can't do it. And the problem is we compare with everybody. And this is the beauty of community. Because the next thing they did, they became a community of believers. They came together as one body, as a community, to take the gospel out there on the streets. But you know, Peter and John witnessed completely differently to Paul. The mannerisms were probably very similar. You look at Philip out in Samaria. He was a very, very quiet guy, but just confidently got on with it. Stephen, you know, stoned. He even died for the gospel. I mean, I'd have loved to hear what sort of life he had. This guy was a very, very intelligent man, Stephen. He really knew what he was talking about. But we had such a short passage of what his lifestyle was. But the trouble is, if we're not careful, we think we've got to be like that to witness, to bring people in. What they did, they didn't compare each other to each other. As a community of believers, they encouraged each other to what God was calling them to do. They came around each other. They prayed for each other. They devoted themselves to each other in a way that made a whole difference to how that church operated. They came around each other as a body to encourage each other, to get out there and say, this is what God is calling me to do. I don't shout it from the treetops. or scream the gospel from here, there, and everywhere. I do it by hand. That's how I witness. I serve. That's what my gifting is. You know, I get my hands dirty. I get, you know, I'm not a great preacher out in the streets. Healing on the streets doesn't do much for me. But give me something to fix, do, or run for, I'm quite happy. But I know I'm in a community of believers that come around me and encourage me and pray for me. And that makes a whole difference to how I witness. I know I'm not out there as an individual doing that bit that I am called to do. I know I'm part of a body of Christ that comes round here to encourage and build me up. And you've got to ask yourself, what is God calling you to do? And that doesn't mean he's calling you to do something comfortable and warm, because this is what these guys decided to do. They decided we're not going to sit in a room in a holy huddle and be comfortable in our church. They decided we're going to get out there and take some risks. We're going to take the courage that Abel gives us to get out there in whatever we're called to do individually. You see, they were totally in step with the Holy Spirit. Total unison. Totally in step with him. A partnership. In fact, it became so intuitive with the Holy Spirit that they didn't even think about what they were witnessing or who they were witnessing with. They just went out there doing it, and the Holy Spirit just poured out of them. Poured out of them. They didn't pour the Holy Spirit out. He poured out of them. And that's what made 3,000 people come to Christ in the first time. You know, the first 20 years of the church, more people came to Christ in that early period than almost the rest of the church history. Why? Because they were Holy Spirit led. They were not man led. This is the problem with the church today. 100 people have started this movement. There's a handful of willings ready to get out there. A community of believers devoting themselves to each other. But even though they were called individually to get out there and do what God was calling them in and out there and everywhere, they had one thing in common. They had one thing in common. They lived it. They lived the gospel. 24/7, the gospel message was pouring out of these guys. No matter where they were doing, no matter where they were washing up, watching the telly, out with their mates with a beer, in their workplace, whatever they were doing, they were living the gospel. You know, our lifestyle speaks volumes to people. The way we act, the way we react, the way we think, the way we speak to people speaks volumes to people. We fall into that trap, don't we, of worldly thinking. We stand there in fear in case we upset somebody by the message we bring. We tend to go along with people and the places we're in case we upset the apple cart. We tend to not live the gospel if we're truthful with ourselves. See, the only person that really lived the gospel was Jesus Christ himself. Why? Because he is the gospel message. The gospel message in Jesus Christ was in its purest form. No add-ons, no things we think we might have to do as well. He was the example of the living gospel. And the only way to know that is to read the gospel book itself and see how he acted, reacted, thought, spoke. And the problem is, over the generations, we have feared that ourselves, if we're honest. You know, we've come to the gospel message and we sort of tweak it a little bit. or add a little bit on because it sounds better. We add a little bit on or we tweak it because it's more comfortable with us to talk about it that way. We add a little bit on or tweak it a little bit because we think society needs to hear it that way. Is it any wonder the church is in such trouble? Because the problem is, over the generations, man has influenced the gospel. It has become, in some churches, so watered down, people think, well, what's the difference between church and the lifestyle I've got? Why should I go to church? What has it got to offer me that my lifestyle already has? And that's where we are today, in many places, certainly in the Western society we live in. We have people out there who won't come to Christ because they think it's no different than the lifestyle I already have. And generation by generation, it's got watered down, and it's got watered down, and it's got watered down. Wouldn't it be great if this generation was the one that turned the tide? Wouldn't it be great in centuries to come to say, you know, in the year 2016, we actually now do the gospel message because here and now somebody took the risk. Somebody had the courage to say, wait a minute, this is what the gospel message is about. Not what it was. This is it. And you'll find it in Christ Jesus. And we, as a body of people, a community of believers, need to get hold of that truth. That if we are to change this world, we have to live like Christ did. You know, he was sent down as a physical representation of God to show how to live the gospel. You know, when he ascended into heaven and sat at the right hand of the Father, he didn't turn to the Holy Spirit and say, like, off you go, mate. It's down to you now. Done my bit. I'm off with me father fishing. See you later. Did he? No. It says, Christ dwells in us. Christ dwells in us. He hasn't finished his message of the gospel. He's looking for the willings to come, the ables to say, this is what it's about, guys. This is what the gospel message is. And it's not, and we get this truth. We are his physical representation on this earth. We are the Christ now, here, the physical representation of heaven and earth. Just think on that truth for a minute. The problem is, we're not divine like he was. We're human. And Christ knew this. Christ knew that if we got hold of the gospel, we'd make a right mess of it. And history has proven him right. Because what they forgot to bring with them was Abel. Because without Abel, the Holy Spirit, we will make a mess of it. Because through him, the purity of the gospel is revealed through the physical presence of us. You see, we have to surrender absolutely everything. Give it up. Stop what we think we should be doing. And surrendering it to the Holy Spirit so that we can physically go out there and just allow him to flow through us. Then we will see people come to Christ in their droves. Then we will see the church grow. But until we decide to stop doing it ourselves, we will only do it in bits and pieces. Odds and sods. Do we want to see a revival? Do we? Yeah. But let's stop doing it by ourselves. You see, we ask about risk and we pray about courage. The thing is, I don't think we get it quite right. See, we ask for risk to maybe step out in faith or courage to maybe speak to somebody. Actually, the risk and the courage is us changing. Us being willing to change. Taking that risk of actually standing out from the crowd. To step forward and say, look, actually, I don't think that's right. Taking the risk to stand up for truth and justice, for honour, integrity, and everything else Jesus Christ stands for. We have to take the risk and say to society, I'm not going to be part of that. This is what I believe in. This is what I stand for. The courage to actually stand up and say, I'm going to be different. I'm not going to be part of this world. You're in the world, not of the world. Didn't he say that? We need to be a people who take the risk and the courage to actually stop thinking we can do it. We need to be a people who actually says, I'm going to risk being something different than what I am already. Take the risk of saying, actually, I'm not going to be the person I was before. The risk to say, I'm going to stand out from the crowd. And actually, if I do upset somebody, then maybe they need to hear it. Maybe they need to hear the truth. Because when they suddenly hear the truth, something goes on inside their own spirit that challenges them to think, actually, hold on, this guy's got something right here. We need to take the courage to stand up and be counted for the gospel. Not in our own strength, our own ways, our own evangelical programs or outreaches that we can do, but completely surrender ourselves 100% to Him who is able to change this world for the good, to bring people into a relationship with Christ beyond our thinking, our ways, because He has the power and the strength and the might to do it. Are we a community of believers who are willing to surrender and have decided to surrender everything 100% without any add-ons to Him who can do it? He's looking for willings. He is able. Together, we can become a partnership that will take this world by storm, just like the apostles did 2,000 years ago. Because if we're willing and He is able, it's a partnership made in heaven. It's a partnership made in heaven. We need to be out there. We need to spread that gospel message of truth. But we ain't going to do it if we decided to even put 10% of ourselves into it, of our own will, our own way. He wants us as physical vessels of Jesus Christ to represent Him on this earth. Let's go and take it by storm. Let's be the Peters, the Pauls, the Phillips, the 100 willings that we don't even read about in the books of Acts, who are just able to get out there and do it in whatever God was calling them to do, without comparing themselves to each other. Just being a community of people who are willing to get out there, encourage each other, pray for each other, devote themselves to each other. Then we will see a world changed for Him. Let's pray. Yeah, Lord, I thank You for Your favor and Your grace. I thank You that we were never left alone to fight this fight ourselves. We were never left out there in the wilderness wondering, what do we do next? But Lord, You sent Your Holy Spirit to work through us. Lord, and I pray that we decide that we are willing to surrender everything so that we can go and take that gospel message to the people You died for on a cross. And I pray this morning as if you've challenged us, that you reveal it to us. Let it be known what you want us to change, what you want us to do. And I pray this morning as a community of believers, we come together and encourage and pray and devote ourselves to each other. And whatever God is calling us to do, Lord, let us do it with the knowing that the Holy Spirit has it in his hand. Lord, I thank you for this morning. Lord, that may this word go deep into us. May we live it out. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.